podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
The time for talking's nearly over, and after a week of build-up, we're now just hours away from Celtic v Rangers on match day 32 of this week's Scottish Premiership. This is Tino with the Countdown to Kickoff show, joined here by James, Assam and Paddy for this one. James, I'll come to you first for your initial thoughts ahead of the big game.
Just the one we've been waiting for, isn't it? Very excited. That's the overall feeling. You just want to get this game and get at them. It's going to be tough. The weather looks atrocious. 50 mile an hour winds throughout the game. So there's pros and cons on that. You know, they're a diagonal ball, second balls team. That's tough to do at 50 mile an hour winds, but it lends well to chaos ball, which is very much their MO. Doesn't really lend to, you know, a passing game that we play. But if you keep the ball down, you know, which we do, that's very much our game, then it's your lend towards us. So weather's an issue, but these guys have been over the course before, and that's the big thing. That's a big difference between the two teams, I would say. We've got the guys back who've gone and done it before, and that's just standards in good stead.
Should do. Paddy, spring has sprung, and it's chucking it down with rain and 50 mile an hour winds. What's your hopes for the weekend?
It's a bit warmer for a start. I think I'm with James on that one. The weather does play a part in these fixtures. I don't know how bad it's going to be. Forecast isn't looking too good, but I think if we do get the ball down on the deck, it plays into our favour. It'll be interesting to see how the park looks as well. I do think under Clement, obviously, they're quite known for playing the diagonal quite a bit, especially under Van Bronckhorst and Beal. But it seems to be a little bit different with him. So one just to kind of keep an eye on. But if it's a good surface, it's a slick surface, then that really plays into our favour as well. So, I've been, obviously we'll come on to it, but I've been swithering at how we set up, how we go about this game. But for me, it comes down to even getting kickoff and getting it right, getting them on the back foot for the get-go. So we'll see how it goes.
You reminded me there, Paddy, was there a kickoff under Lenny where we just took centre and shelled it right into the corner?
We've done it a few times at Ibrox, Tino. I think even under Rodgers, and I think even under Ange, I'm pretty sure we've lobbed it that way, just to put them in the back foot for the get go. Especially when you have no fans there, it's a very, very volatile place. You want to make sure you're getting in there and trying to get them on under pressure straight away. So it's a good wee tactic.
Yeah, let's get them in the back foot, early bells. Asim, how you feeling? Obviously, a week of build-up, various headlines, radio phone-in shows, all the drama that you get with this kind of fixture. But how you feeling yourself about it?
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned it was under Lenny, wasn't it, when we kicked it? I think it was the Johnny Hayes one where he scored. It was that game, I remember. We did it right from the off and kind of set the tone. But you're right, it's one of those. I'm just itching for the game to start now, because I feel like right from Monday we did our kind of weekly show, and the build-up has just kind of ramped up as the week's gone on, and I've listened to every podcast, every radio show, and you're just kind of itching for the game to start. I just feel like we're in such a good place. So added to the fact that, I know we'll probably touch on it, but you've seen the pictures of Callum McGregor today at training. So it just feels that everything's aligned for us. You know, we're a few of us have mentioned that we could we just be peaking at just the right time. So I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully, like you say, the weather's not going to impact it, because I think they are a more direct team than us. So if it is kind of really windy and gusty, you just hope that doesn't impact them. I'm sure it won't, but I just feel like, you know, everything's aligned for us. We're looking good. We've got all our big players back, hopefully. I just can't wait for it to get started, to be honest. I wish it was, you know, game time already. It's, many have said it's probably one of the biggest ones in many, many a year. And it certainly feels like that, just with the build-up and all the kind of intensity that's going to come with it. So, yeah, can't wait for it, to be honest.
Same, and, you know, we're edging ever closer to kickoff, and, you know, the excitement's building. There's lots of great comments coming in. On that, thanks to everyone who's joining us on the live. I think that's Dale from the Celtic Supporters Podcast. Welcome to Dale, Michael Ross, Northampton, Tim, David Gillespie, Kean, and various others. Thanks again, as always, for joining us. We're now going to cut on to the lineup and what myself and the guys here think it'll be, but do feel free to chip in with your own thoughts, and we'll try and pick them up as we get through the chat. James, I'll come back to you initially. Let's have a look at the back four. Joe Hart, of course, but what's the four in front of him going to look like?
It's as straightforward a back four as we've had against them this season. Look back at the squads in September and December. So it was Johnson, Lagerbielke, Scales and Taylor in September. Johnson, Stephen Wells, Scales and Taylor in December. It's Johnson, CCV, Scales and Taylor all day. I don't know if there's a Celtic fan in the land that's going to change that. You can argue longer term, medium term about, you know, can Navrotsky prove himself to take the jersey off of Scales? Maybe, maybe not. But as it is for Sunday, that's your back four. I don't know anyone that would go against that, which might stop these guys going against him when they want to.
Yeah, ask him any change on that for you. As James says, it kind of picks itself, doesn't it? Is there anything that you would do differently?
No, it is. It's definitely the back four that I think all of us probably would agree with. And I think that's why we're feeling a lot more confident. It just seems like there's a bit of consistency now with the lineup, and even just in the defence. That is probably our best back four available, and for the first time this season in this fixture that we'll have CCV available, and we know how much of a difference he makes, despite the fact that we've won both the games without him. You just add him in there and you just feel so much more assured, so much more calmer about it. So, yeah, I feel like they've all kind of came onto a game recently. Alistair Johnson, Taylor, Scales has probably been the one that's been the weakest link in recent weeks. But again, when you've got CCV in there with him, you just feel... And Scales, to be honest, in both the Derby games, you know, in credit to him, was very, very assured. Almost some of these kind of games, I think, where it's maybe less of him on the ball, it's more just his actual... instinctive reactions, defending sometimes, last gasp defending, getting things cleared, which especially in the September fixture, I remember him and Lagerbielke in that second half really stood up to the test of any cross balls. So, yeah, I've got no qualms with that back four, and I think that's what we'll see.
I've got to completely agree, and I think what you see across that back four is real experience of that fixture. Johnson, Carter Vickers, certainly Greg Taylor, and Joe Hart behind them. Those guys have been there, done that, and then some in this fixture. And Liam Scales, as Asim rightly says, has really stepped up over the last couple of games. And now he's not the debate for Liam Scales' future and the future of Celtic in the centre-half position, but I do think he's proven himself a very capable defender in these kind of games. And he's got to be thriving on this. And I think, I've said it a lot now, but real credit to him for putting himself in a position where he came in way, way back early in the season against St Johnson, and here we are, match day 32, and he's still commanding a slot. So good luck to Liam Scales, and I hope he comes good once again at the weekend. Paddy, not so easy as the midfield three. We've had a debate about it on the weekly show on Monday. There's lots and lots of chat online. Various folks have commented. Asim, you've confirmed that Calmac trained this morning, back on the grass, as Miff would say. We're recording here at 12 noon, so we've yet to hear Brendan Rodgers' comments in terms of where Calmac's at. But what do you think, Paddy? Is he right back in? Is there any debate to be had for you?
If he's fit, if he's good to go, he's of course right back in. What fit could mean is 60%, 70% there. As I say to you, like, we could spend all season listening to sports scientists, but when it really, really matters, you want your best players on the park. And I think a 60%, 70% fit Callum McGregor still brings an awful lot to the table for this team, whether it be his leadership qualities, the understanding of the fixture, and just what he does, especially going to a tough ground such as Ibrox. And I think that you want your best players there. And as I said, if you can take control of what's going to be quite a frantic affair, I'd imagine, for the first 10, 15 minutes, if you can get the game under control, you can get yourself maybe a couple of goals. Then you look at Alata, or then you look at Bernardo. You look at the likes coming on, it can take over from those positions. But he's got to start for me, 100%, if he's ready.
Yeah, and are you going then, just to confirm, Paddy, Calmac with O'Reilly and Hatate up ahead?
Strongest midfield in Scotland. Got to start, 100%.
Do you know, there is a lot of debate to be had, but when you come out with a line as strong as that, Paddy, the strongest midfield in Scotland, James, it's hard to argue with those three guys being the guys who get the nod.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it is a debatable midfield three, and I know that's harsh on Iwata, who's been playing really well. But Asim made a really good point on Monday in the weekly show. It's the five we've got to pick from, and that's a luxury we've not had all season, not just in these games, any part of the season. So to have the quality like that, that you can actually say, if McGregor, you know, failed a fitness test in the morning and Iwata slotted in, you're not troubled by that as much as you want Calmac there for his presence, his, you know, captaincy skills, all those kind of things. You're a lot more comfortable than you would have been another time. So, but for me, there's no debate. Paddy's spot on. The strongest three midfield in Scotland.
Awesome. It looks like we're kind of getting back to what we agreed on Monday night, or just about agreed on, I put forward what I thought was a very decent case for Tomoki Iwata to start. Only if, as Paddy says, Callum McGregor isn't 100%, he might be, you know, they'll be pushing him. There's no doubt if it wasn't Rangers this weekend, Celtic might give him an extra week of training and see where he goes. There's no doubt they're pushing him to an extent. And if it came to that he was just short of the required fitness, I would be very, very comfortable with Tomoki Iwata in there. But it's not just what Callum McGregor brings from a playing point of view. It's the leadership. It's the been there, done that element of what he can bring, particularly at Ibrox. He knows what it's all about. You're getting into the cauldron there. You're up against 50,000 fans with zero Celtic fans, bar those who might have sneaked in or carried on their work in the kiosks that day. And that's about it. And you need someone who's not afraid of that challenge. And Callum McGregor's certainly the guy to stand up to that.
Yeah, you know, by all accounts, he's not had his best season, but his two best performances were Ibrox and then the Celtic Park game against them as well. So he's vital just in terms of his presence. You look back even seasons gone by, the game where we won under Ange and at Ibrox towards the end of the season, 2-1. We were one down at Ibrox, and if you remember, McGregor kind of made that surging run that led to Rogic's equaliser, and then from there on in, we took control of that game. The game, again, at Celtic Park, where he had his mask on, he's always been that driving force for us. And I think just having him in there, and I think we touched on it on Monday, as much as I don't think they're going to give him the freedom of the park the way they did in September, I think they're going to try, if he's playing, they'll try and put a man marker on him. But that, again, that might play into our hands, because then it frees up your Rio Tati or Matt O'Reilly, because they're not going to be able to do it with all three of our midfielders. And as James and Paddy have said, best midfielders in the country. You know, all three of them individually, you'd easily say they're the best three midfielders in the country. So I think it sets the tone. If Callum's fit to start, I would start him and get those three in, because I think that I don't want us to kind of try and go on the defensive from the off. I want us to take the game to them. And I think that three can set the tone, really, and get the ball down, get the crowd quietened. If he's fit, that's the three I'd go. And as James said, it's a strong five you've got to choose from, because you've got two other guys who are on form, feeling good about themselves, and we know can do a job in this fixture, because they've proved it. Bernardo scored in the last one. Iwata's came on and did well in several games against them. So, you know, it's as good a position as we've been in all season in terms of the squad availability. So, yeah, we're in a strong position there.
It's a really strong position, and all of a sudden, an optimal time in the season, Brendan Rodgers has got all the options available to him. The very valid point on the midfield three of Calmac, Matt O'Reilly and Rio Hitati is that all three can go and win a game for you. They can play that killer pass, or they can score that killer goal. Less so with Iwata, talented player, but very much the water carrier number six, defensive midfield type of role. I think Brendan Rodgers goes here to win. I don't think he goes here to sit tight. I don't think Celtic very generally over the years know how to play for a draw. I think we've tried it once or twice in Europe and it just doesn't work for us. And I think Brendan Rodgers, he knows that on our day, we've got the beating of this team. We've proven it twice already this season. And I think he goes to win. And I think absolutely for that reason, as much as anything, it's Calmac, it's Rio Hitati, it's Matt O'Reilly. James up front, maybe two out of the three, I think, pick themselves. It's got to be Kyogo. Absolutely. I think he's got 7 goals in 11 games against Rangers. I think that's the record. It's got to be him. It's got to be Maeda. Frustrating as he can be, he likes this fixture. He scored the opener at Ibrox not that long ago. So I do think it's those two. Who's on the right wing? Is it Kun? Is it Yang?
Again, you know, I think this is the easiest first 11 I've picked all season. I think it's so straightforward. Football can be so harsh because Yang was really hitting form. Step in, Jordan Beaton, and he's benched for 2 games. He's out for 2 games. Just as Kun starts to hit the ground, Kun's come in, he's had 3 man in the match performances. You don't drop a guy like that. He's talking about it, he's looking forward to it, he's ready. Left back's such a serious weakness for them, so having a right winger like Kun there that can go either side of the guy, one of the key things for me early doors is to get him to stand up, to get at his fullback and just turn him inside out early doors, so they knows that I don't know if this guy's going to go on my left or go on my right, so he's just going to twist him. If you get that into the left back's head early doors, I think he'll give him a torrid time all day. So Kun, absolutely straightforward choice for me. Yang will come on and play his part, you know, as he showed. He's a wee bit more physical than Kun as well. He's quite a big lad, Yang. So there's something in that. Maeda, yeah, Maeda madness. I've spoke about it. the last few weeks, that I think longer term, we maybe need to look at that. But in this fixture, he loves it, and Tavernier hates it. So for that reason alone.
Yeah, so you'll have that Tavernier-Maeda matchup on Celtic's left-hand side, and more often than not, it's not being cocky, more often than not, Maeda wins out in that battle. He tends to nullify any attacking threat that Tavernier offers. At left-back, Paddy, I think it seems that Rangers have got an issue. Yilmaz is injured, Barisic is Barisic and doesn't really like this game. And the talk is that perhaps the fella Dijon Sterling might step in. I think he's naturally a defensive midfielder type. If he goes over to left-back, robust a character as he looks to be, up against a tricky winger like Kuhn or Yan could be an absolute nightmare for him. I did hear some chat during the week, I think it was on the radio, about Nicholas Kuhn. He's certainly got the ability. We've seen it in flashes and we've certainly seen it more consistently in the last 2-3 games. But Paddy, this will be like something he's never experienced before. He's been at a level, hasn't he? You know, he was at Bayern Munich as a kid, Ajax as a kid. But this is something completely different. Getting into that cauldron of, well, I call it a cauldron of hate. That's probably how it's going to feel. Five minutes to kick off. It'll be like nothing he's ever experienced before. And he might well be tasked with going and driving at the Rangers' defence and ultimately trying to unlock them. So what do you think? Do you agree with James's three? Kuhn, Kyogo, Maeda?
I do. I think the right-hand side will be so important for us. I think Rangers will also try and get our left-hand side on Sunday. Greg Taylor can definitely hold his head high. I think he's definitely kind of assured himself lately. But they'll want to give the likes of Liam Scales time on the ball. They will try and cover our right-hand side more than anything. And it's an important game for the likes of Cameron Carter-Vickers, Alistair Johnson and Nicholas Kuhn, if it's going to be him that starts. I think it will be. But I'm with James. Get whoever is left back straight away. Let them know that they're in for a tough 90 minutes. Because there's been a few times we've actually been really, really quiet down the right, especially at Ibrox, and it's all came down the left. Maeda, as we know, is hit or miss, but he does pin Tavernier in. So we look at the goals that we have got coming from the right. I think that goal Maeda scored, it came in from Johnston in the right-hand side. I think it's a big, important game for him. And I think that he will be crucial in unlocking Yang or Kuhn, whoever is going to be starting there. But I do think it'll be Nicholas Kuhn.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. Absolutely. Are some of you in the same boat, those three guys?
Yeah, 100%. I think James is right. You look at Yang pre the Tynecastle game and everyone was really excited about him and thinking he's the one that's going to be a key player. But again, just we've been fortunate that Kuhn's came in, and albeit it's been St Johnstone and Livingston, but you can just see it in his kind of confidence on the ball. I know a lot of was made of the fact that I think he'd lost quite a lot of weight when he had that dental treatment, and you could see it, whereas now he actually looks quite brave and strong on the ball. You look at even how we scored our goal, the first goal against Livingston, it was him kind of nicking the ball back, using his upper body strength. So I'm quite confident that he can handle it. I think he, like James said earlier, he's talking about it, he seems confident, he seems up for it. So I've got no issues with that. Obviously, if we need to, we've got options to change it. We've also got James Forrest, who, you know, I know we've all spoke about it, but he's a guy who later on in the game, if we're maybe ahead, who's quite sensible on the ball, he's quite, you know, measured in possession. So he's another one who's came on to a game recently. When he's came on, he's looked sharp. So everything's kind of looking good in the terms of different options we've got. Adam Ida as well, he's one a few weeks ago that we were debating. Could it be him or Kyogo? I'm sure you're going to touch on that anyway, but it's just strong to have so many different options. But as James said, I think it's for the first time all season, you could pretty much handpick your first 11. And that's not been the case since Rodgers came in. And it's probably no coincidence that we're on our kind of best run of form right now. Again, a caveat, I know it's been St Johnstone, Livingston, but we just look like a solid, settled unit right now. And I think that comes with the consistency and selection. And yeah, for me, Kuhn gets the start there with Maeda.
And I think just those options, Asim, it just gives confidence, certainly to the manager, his coaching staff, and the players. There's no doubt, you know, if you're, just say you're Cameron Carter-Vickers and you look up and you see Callum McGregor ahead and you see Rio Hitati, you know Kyogo's in form, you've got Kuhn doing his thing. It just breeds confidence throughout the team, and I think that's got to be a really positive thing. Some great comments coming in. RL77, valid point. He says, snuff out beating and they've got little threat. We'll get to John Beaton shortly, so don't worry about that. He also makes another comment, James, about D. John Stirling won't cut the mustard, but I don't think it deserves to be shown on screen. He's better than that. Good comment coming in from Del, though, at the Celtic Supporters Podcast, and he mentions the squad depth, which we've touched on there, saying it's the best it's been. Yang, Palmer, Ida, Iwata, Bernardo, Forrest, probably Daniel Kelly as well, making up what's a massively strong bench. James, on that note, and to Del's point, what do you think about the impact the subs can potentially have? I think we're almost, you know, in agreement in terms of the 11, if not completely in agreement, but the subs could have a huge part to play. And Asa makes a great point. Adam, he is a guy who was winning games for us not that long ago. Yeah. He, amongst others, could have a role.
100%. I mean, sadly, I don't think Kelly and Palmer will make the bench, and that's because it's so much stronger than it has been maybe all season. Give you a quick rundown of my benches: Bain, Ralston, Navrotsky, Welsh, and then the five, Bernardo, Tomoki, Yang, Ida, and Jamesy. And I think all five of those attacking guys will play their part. With that, that just, you know, pushes Calmack coming back in, puts Bernardo on the bench, which, you know, and Tomoki, which nudges Kelly out, sadly. But yeah, it's so much stronger than it's been all season, and it's got to be, and it's going to play a big, big part. Ida in particular. I mean, there's some folk out there that will say, you know, maybe Ida's more suited to this game, more physical, all that stuff. And I totally get that. For me, I would never drop Kyogo in a game like this because he just loves it, you know, the number of goals he's scored. But bringing Ida on in 60, 70 minutes, that's terrorising. I used to love when we'd Jack Amakis on the bench and you'd Kyogo, this wee guy, just running about, you know, turning you all sides inside out. And then you bring Jack Amakis off the bench. It's a physical game. It's so hard for a defender. I think that's where they're most vulnerable in centre half on Sunday. Two guys that, you know, have got serious limitations. And I don't want to be overconfident. I'm not overconfident. I never have given these games. But if you're going to get at them anywhere, it's the centre half. And Kyogo and Ida are both going to play their part there.
Yeah, Conor Goldson and John Souter will likely be the back two, the centre-half pair. And I don't think, Paddy, they look forward to this at all. Kyogo's record, just to clarify, he's started 9 games against Rangers, 11 in total, but started 9 of them, and he's got 7 goals. And he's just absolutely the man for the big occasion, Paddy. But who do you think could have the most impact? What we've got in terms of the bench is game changers. Sometimes, whether it's Brendan Rodgers this season or Ange over the last couple of seasons, he's looked down at his bench and he's had what I would call fillers, guys that can come on if somebody's injured, guys that can step in to give you fresh legs, but not necessarily change the game. The three of Bernardo, Yang and Adam Ida, I would call them game changers, Paddy. And you've got Iwata, who can come in and see out the game if you manage to get into a commanding position.
It's super important. And I think, as I've said, like, it's the first time we're really looking at a full-strength squad. They don't like playing against Kyogo, Goldson and Souter. I think Goldson especially doesn't know how to handle him. And I remember a game, one little thing that kind of concerned me, I remember a game a couple of seasons ago where Kyogo had ran him ragged for 70 minutes. We took him off and Jack Amakis got a bit more physical with him, but actually didn't do as much running as Kyogo. And that's what you would need from Big Ida. And I think you would get it from him, to be honest. And it allowed them to kind of start playing out to the back a little bit more. We are super strong at closing them down with the pace of Maeda and the intelligence of Kyogo. And I'd like to see the same for Kuhn on Sunday as well, is preventing them from playing out to the back, because they're not very good at it for a start, but they like to think that they are. And I think if we put that pressure on them from the get-go, it's a shaky start at Ibrox. Kyogo's the man for that. He always has been.
I think so. We'll take a look at them in just a second. But just to clarify that starting 11, I think just about universal agreement here. Joe Hart in goals, a back four of Alistair Johnson, Greg Taylor, Cameron Cattle-Vickers and Scales in the centre. Calmack returns. He'll sit in the number 6 with Matt O'Reilly and Rayo Hatate up ahead of him. It's Kyogo through the middle all day long. And it's Kuhn on the right and Maeda on the left. Asim, in terms of Rangers, don't want to spend too much time on them, with all due respect / no respect, but who do you think their danger men are and who do you think their weak links are?
I think weak links, to start with, Golson. I don't think he's the same player. You know, I think he's declined this season. He's been culpable for a lot of different errors. I think he's slower. And I definitely think him and Souter both really struggle playing against Kyogo. You look at Kyogo's record, it's insane what he's done in the last calendar year there. 7 goals game-winning goals, cup finals, or was it the semi? Yeah, no, I think it was a final, wasn't it? Semi. It was a semi, I'm sure. But where he scored two, he's just been brilliant. Even though you look at his two goals this season, so I think he can really expose their back line, which, as I've said, is probably their weakest areas. You've mentioned left back as well. So if it's Barisic, again, a guy who we've had so much joy against in this fixture, I think they might end up putting Sterling there if Yilmaz is injured. I think they'll go with that just because he seems to be a better defender, a bit more athletic. So I think they'll try and put him there to kind of nullify our threat. And then they've got their, in terms of strengths, it depends. I don't know how Sima's looking for fitness. I don't think he's featured much at all, but there's been chat that he might be available again. So if he's in, he's obviously been one of their better players, but he's been out for months now, so I don't know whether he'll be fit to start. And then, the, you know, you look at the likes, I think their midfield will be Diomande, Lundstrom and Cantwell, and then probably Dessers up front, and then I'm not sure who they'll play on the right side. But Dessers, you know, for me, he's nowhere on a par with Kyogo. So you look at that in terms of the front options, I think we are far superior. We've seen how he struggled in the last fixture. You know, famous last words, I don't want to say something in any case he ends up doing the job, but I don't fear him. And again, even that midfield, you look at it, there's no one that you really fear from them. But as a collective, Clement's got them playing effectively and playing well. I don't think individually they've got better players than us. For me, it's just about how we start the game. Rather than worrying about their kind of individual players, I just want to make sure we're not starting the game the way we did in September. We were quite slack and let them kind of get ahead of steam, and we were quite fortunate they didn't score. But in terms of individual players, yeah, I think I've highlighted their weaknesses. In terms of strengths, Sima, if he plays, would be a danger, I guess. And Cantwell's had one good game against us, but it was a meaningless game, wasn't it? It was a game where the league was done. I've yet to see him impact one of these important games, so yeah, we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah, do you know, any player can do it when it doesn't matter, and Rangers have won one in the last nine against Celtic, and we'll get to the head-to-head shortly, and the one they won didn't matter. So well done, Cantwell, enjoy your day, but there's no relevance to what you've done on that occasion. Paddy, there's a lot of chat about Rangers potentially playing with a high line. We've seen it quite recently against Benfica, and it absolutely killed them. They had everybody almost, apart from their goalie, you know, pushing high up against a very, very decent Benfica side with pace to burn, and absolutely came back to bite them. And I agree with Asim. I think Philippe Clement has come in and made them better. But with Michael Beale previously being the man in charge, you know, it's hard not to improve what he was doing. But that's a naivety from Philippe Clement to play so high against a side like that. And I think likewise, it could potentially come back to bite them if they try and do so against us. I seen some chat last night, a Rangers fan on Twitter saying Kyogo doesn't get in behind, so it's no issue if we play a high line. Cast your mind back just to September when Kyogo gets in behind and volleys it past your potential England goalkeeper with ease, Paddy. So I think it's a game where Rangers, they're not going to sit in and defend, I don't think. They need to come out at different times, but it depends on just how high they approach the game, you know, in terms of their high line. They could really play into what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I think but you're saying naivety. I think there's also a slight arrogance about the tactics set by this manager. And I think that he's inherited a team that was pretty much done with the looks of it. The players that they brought in last summer, you know, didn't really hit the ground running, a few injuries. And I think they've had injuries all season, very similar to ourselves. But they have pulled some performances together. Has it been breathtaking football? No, it never is with them. Has he tried to change things? Yes, he has. Whether he thinks that going a high line against Celtic's a good idea is another thing. But I think for them tomorrow, they'll just be for them on Sunday, they'll be looking to get us on the back foot for the get-go. They need that crowd behind them. If they don't get us on the back foot for the get-go, it can be a really toxic place. They're very quick to turn on their own. We've seen that in several seasons. I think for me, we're kind of talking about some of the players that, you know, might pose a threat. I think Sterling's actually one of the better players. I think he's come back and done really well from injury. And we see that he's one of those utility men. They tend not to be the best of footballers, but he does seem pretty comfortable in most positions. I think they had him at right wing at one point this season. And the other one for me, actually, I think has been quite tidy in the midfield is Tom Lawrence. I think he's a very comfortable player. But I just think it comes down to intensity. And I think back that they're talking about this reborn Lindstrom. I think back at one point, the ball was getting played in the middle of Celtic Park and he actually just threw his arms up in the air because he was the only one trying to chase the ball down, but no one else was, and he could not get near us. And I think, we mentioned the other week there about on Monday there about the Callum McGregor game. We came back, random ragged, and we were saying it was 2 years ago. A lot of their players have played an extra 2 years as well, and 2 years ago they still weren't that very good. I think we've got enough about them, enough about ourselves. I think we've got enough pace to really go and push ahead any of their players. I would love Barisic to start on left back on Sunday, but I do think it'll be Sterling.
You're a bad man, Paddy. you've got a situation though where Callum McGregor, he thrives on the opportunity to go toe-to-toe with somebody like Todd Cantwell. We've seen it at Celtic Park there back in December. And certainly with Lindstrom, he's had a couple of tussles with him. And again, more often than not, Callum McGregor comes out on top. And I think a huge part of what happens on Sunday will be different players winning the individual battles, and then the rest of the team can do their thing from there. James, just to finish up as such on the Rangers chat, any threats, as I say, in general, any weak points, and also your thoughts on what Philip Clement's done since he came in?
Start with that. I think he's got them more organised, maybe more disciplined. You know, they were just kind of unmanaged shambles under Beale, which he's proven as a bit of his MO since he's even left Rangers. So it's no great shakes kind of stuff. I think they do have danger. I have to say, McCausland is the kind of guy that can get at you, particularly on the left back. I think he'll start. They'll have him on the Magic Inhalers all week, and he'll start. And he'll be going at Taylor. Between himself, I think, I see me right, it might be too early for Tima, but you've got Silva there, similar player, but you've also got Matondo. They might be just going for pace, that kind of thing. And what they get from that is running past and throwing themselves to the floor and winning free kicks around the D and around the edge of the box. I think that's a big, big part of their tactics tomorrow, to try and get any kind of set pieces in and around our box. So in terms of how I assess them, a very poor football team that are quite disciplined and know their strengths and know their weaknesses and will be playing a physical game. Lindstrom will be allowed to run riot. As well, Diamandé, I think he's a red card walking in any other game, but he'll get away with murder on Sunday. So we know there's challenges there. We just need to stand up to them.
Yeah, and just on Clement, so just some stats for you in terms of their head-to-heads in Glasgow derbies. Philip Clement's record so far, 0% win rate. Brendan Rodgers, 80% win rate. Now, obviously being facetious, Clement's only had the one game. But it's important, James, to stress just how experienced a winner Brendan Rodgers is in this fixture. He's played the Rangers 15 times. He's won 12, drawn 2, and lost just 1. We obviously know the chat over the last couple of weeks in terms of the discipline issue. You know, Hamden, the fact that Rodgers missed the game on Sunday, had to watch from the stands. But he's back on the track side. He'll be in the dressing room pre-match, half-time and whatever else. And just how big an influence will he have and can he have on this fixture?
Huge. I mean, he's such a studious kind of manager. He'll be spending a long, long time working out how he's going to set up on Sunday. And he'll be using this week and maybe even weeks prior, just starting to get that message into the players as to how he's going to want them to deploy his tactics. But as you say, his experience, his desire to win. Of course, Clement's going to have the exact same desire to win, but the experience is lacking there. I think having Rodgers back and, you know, in the dugout, not banned, is massive for Sunday. So, you know, it's just, I can imagine it would be without him, you know. So I know he's not being everyone's favourite cup of tea, Miff, looking at yourself, but you can't deny his talent and you can't deny his will to win this fixture.
Yeah, he's been there, done that. And that's why having him and Callum McGregor a part of this setup on Sunday is just so, so important. Asim, I'll come to you for some reasonable-minded opinions on John Beaton. He's obviously picked up a lot of headlines since he was announced. Was it Tuesday morning? And there's been all sorts of tales and complaints online about what he might or might not do. I think he's taken 5 Celtic Rangers games so far since 2018, something like that. He's yet to send anybody off. And I think If that remains the case on Sunday, that is huge for Celtic. You can concede a penalty, but 11 v 11, you've always got a chance of clawing that back. However, if you get down to 10 men in a fixture like this, it's such a tall order. But what do you think about being appointed in the first place and what he might bring to the table?
We joked about it on Monday, saying surely not. I honestly, for the life of me, as much as nothing should surprise us and nothing should shock us, I genuinely didn't see this coming, because I thought surely common sense will prevail. Whether it's just to do with the fact that obviously our manager has just called this guy incompetent 2 weeks ago, for them to then throw him straight into this fixture, you know, 2 weeks later, it's smacks of arrogance almost. It's like doubling down. We don't care what you think. We don't care how it looks. We're going to do as we please. Of all the referees they could have picked, they've picked the guy that's been at the centre of this controversy. You know, in terms of even just for the referee himself, why are they putting him in that position? Why are they putting him under that added scrutiny now, where every single small decision, again, will be analysed to the 10th degree? It's just baffling for me. Like I say, nothing should surprise us, but I genuinely didn't see that coming. As I say, it smacks of arrogance. It speaks to every concern that we've had for God knows how long. You know, this is a guy who, again, without going too much into it, but openly goes to drink in Rangers pubs after derby games, is not shy in hiding who he supports, has been in charge of games like that Hearts game. Nobody could watch that game and say that those decisions that he came up with in the VAR room were not incompetent. They really were. So why is he then getting promoted with the biggest game of the season? Why is he getting awarded with the biggest game of the season literally 2 weeks later? So it's baffling. And for me, it's not even... You look at some of the games against them in this season anyway, and even last season, there weren't any major kind of big calls that were like red cards or penalties. Obviously, they were all complaining about the penalty that clearly wasn't a penalty in the fixture at Celtic Park, where they wanted the audios released and whatnot. But generally, for me, the concern is just in terms of how the referee sets the tone. So whether that's letting them away with lots of niggling fouls if they get ahead, or even just things like time weight, all these kind of things, I think, are the stuff that I really kind of get worried about, because it might not even be a blatant controversial decision. It will just be things that set the tone for the game to be refereed in a way that will suit the home team. And with it being a game at Ibrox with obviously no fans for us, the tendency generally would be for, you know, these refs to sometimes be like homers and give them all the decisions. But I just think, especially with the game with having so much importance, I would be surprised if they're putting a few heavy challenges in early doors and the ref will just kind of allow it to go. And that sets the tone. You know, that sets the tone for a niggly game, which again plays into their hands. I remember a game a couple of years ago like that, and there wasn't any mad major decisions, but it was just small things like that. Constant breakup of play. We were chasing the game, I think. We were 1-0 down, and you just remember it. And then it's stuff like that really gets frustrating. So I'm baffled by it. I know the phrase is, you know, we should be good enough that the referee doesn't come into it. But that Tynecastle game and many other games we've seen, sometimes you can't help it. If it's a game-changing decision or things like that, you really are up against it. But you just hope, for everyone's sake, that the game goes away without too much controversy. But chances are quite slim, I'd say.
Yeah, you certainly hope there's no controversial red cards or penalties. But a game can be influenced by the niggly fouls and just the small stop-start things that might break up momentum. I don't want to put the tinfoil hat on and get all conspiracy, but I think we've kind of seen what can happen in these kind of games. I suppose the only bonus for some lucky Jers fan is that they'll get John Beaton's ticket for the game, given that he won't need to use it, being the man in the middle. So there's something there. Paddy, let's move on from refereeing stuff. Well, in fact, the final point I'd like to make, actually, is that, to be fair to John Beaton, and I won't say that a lot, he is under huge pressure, more so than any recent fixture. Getting this fixture for any referee is a pressure game, regardless of the noise, you know, that comes before it. This time, the noise has been ramped up by the disciplinary issue and the arrogance, as Assam says, that the SFA have shown by appointing him. There was a suggestion, I don't know how true it was, that John Beaton requested not to have the fixture. Now, I don't know how accurate that might be or not, but you can certainly see why, even before a ball is kicked, he's under huge pressure. And I just hope that doesn't influence any of his thinking on Sunday. Paddy, we'll take a look here at the head-to-head. So over the last 13 games, I'm taking it back to the start of the 2021-22 season, Ange's first season in charge. There's been 13 games since then. Celtic have won 8. There's been 2 draws, and Rangers have won 3, one of which was very much that dead rubber that we mentioned there. In terms of the aggregate scoreline, it's Celtic 22, Rangers 13. There have been changes, of course, to the squads in different places, but by and large, the starting lineups will be very similar to what we've seen in recent times. How much of an impact do you think that plays on the players' minds? You know, Paddy, we've talked about a starting 11 there, and most of the 11 have been there, done that. How much do you think they'll be thinking about the fact that we, as it stands, have had the upper hand for some time in this fixture?
Well, I just think that comes back to the starting 11, doesn't it? It comes back to McGregor starting. It comes back to Atati, Carter Vickers, Joe Hart, Greg Taylor, Kyogo. It's a swagger. You need that swagger. You need that confidence. And you need that little bit of arrogance going into these games as well. We've been the dominant team. And I think that continues, and it only breeds onto the other players, the new players that are with us at the moment. Pardon me. If you have that winning mentality, we can talk about referees all we want, guys. And listen, I think it's a ludicrous decision that he's taken this game on Sunday. I really do. But I think it's even sweeter if you then go and get the 3 points. It's a finger up to every bit of what we've come up against. For me, that mindset of the head-to-head is great, absolutely brilliant. But I tell you, I just think we've got a manager that's just looking at it saying, you take us game on Sunday, you've got one hand in the trophy, in my opinion. And I think that's the party line, that's the message for these players. As we've said, it's in our hands if we want it. And I genuinely believe that we've got a squad of players that know how to go and deliver this trophy. So, it's good to have a strong head-to-head. I was listening to, I was watching old Sky Sports games last night, just about for 20-odd year ago. And it was one of the games, and Crocker come away with a stat, or Celtic haven't won at Ibrox in 5 years. And you're just like, that's things of the past now. We're a dominant team. As we've said many times before, it's our city. And I just think that we just keep continuing to show that and go and get the 3 points on Sunday.
James Paddy's got the battle fever on.
Couple of
beers for his breakfast this morning, with a single. James, they do say that the form guide goes out the window in this kind of game, but as I said earlier on there, Rangers have only won once in the last 9 games, and it was that dead rubber after last season's league title had been confirmed. How important a factor do you think that is going into Ibrox?
It is important, but I think it's more important that we've got the squad back together. You know, it's the strongest the squad's been, as we've all picked out the 11. There's the strongest the squad's been since the start of the season. That's the biggest thing for me, and they're starting to hit momentum. Rangers, as Miff said, are starting to lose that momentum. That's the key point for me. We're on the up when they're maybe on the down. You know, they'll be resolute, I'm sure. The biggest issue for me is, I think Paddy mentioned it earlier on, if it turns into a scrap, then that's going to be a challenge. That doesn't really lend itself to our game, and never really has, I suppose. You know, we're looking to play football. And you've got a referee who will use the weather and say, well, you know, I can see you didn't really mean to go through that guy and boot him in the head. It's just the weather kind of thing. So those are real dangers for us. But we've shown we know how to handle this fixture, and we've got a manager who's shown he knows how to handle this fixture. So you can't take anything for granted. It's just, every single player needs to be so switched on. Management, coaching staff, guys on the bench, everyone needs to be 100% up for it. And as you say, Paddy, like, win this, you've got one hand in the trophy, so there's no greater incentive.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing Brendan Rodgers' comments and whatever players put up for the press conference later on today, because I do believe there's a real confidence coursing through Celtic at this moment in time. You'll have heard John Kennedy being quite spiky with, I think it was Luke Shanley again from Sky Sports at the weekend, who wanted to pick up on the negative or first clean sheet in a long time, John. And he said, aye, but we've scored, I think now, 20 goals in the last 5 games or so out with the Hearts game. So there's a lot to be confident about. And I think Celtic, we talked about it previously, this siege mentality approach that Rodgers adopted some time ago now. And I think they've just been chipping away at that internally, not been saying too much in the public. But I do believe there's a confidence, a belief and a resilience about what Celtic are doing right now. Lads, we've talked for long enough. We're gone 44 odd minutes. It's time for your big scoreline predictions. James, I'll come to you last because I know you like a big score. But let's see where that is. And as well as your scoreline prediction, Asim, can you also give me who you think will be the star man on the day?
Yep. I said on Monday I thought it was going to be a draw, and I'll stick with that. I think it'll be one each. Obviously, in terms of the outcome of a draw, I think it still suits us more than it suits them. I think for them, if it finishes a draw, they'll go off disappointed. Obviously, ideally, we'd be delighted if we could go and win. As you said, it's one hand on the trophy, and I think we're more than capable. But I just have a niggly feeling that it'll be a score draw. And for us, I think the key man, I think, again, could be Kyogo. I just think he's made out for this fixture. He's obviously scored so many. He thrives on it. His record is unbelievable, really, if you look at it. And I think he could be the main man again if we are to win it. I wouldn't bet against him being the one that the next winner again. So, yeah, I'm hopeful. I think the key will be the start, to be honest. If we can quieten them quite early on, as Paddy alluded to earlier, they can get pretty toxic. So if the game's going on and they're not playing well and giving the ball away, you can just imagine the atmosphere transcending onto the pitch and us kind of growing in confidence. So I think if we can get a good start, I know I've said one each, but you know, that could change. And I say one each now, guaranteed Sunday morning I'll be thinking that we're going to win. So yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, so we're going one each for now, but that's very much subject to change. But I do think, I agree, Asim, if Celtic score early and if we're going at half time with a lead, that whole environment changes and it could play right into Celtic's hands. Before I come to Paddy, anyone watching the live, please do chip in with your own scoreline predictions. Michael Ross is going 2-1 to Celtic, Maestro 95 with the same scoreline. So if anyone's got a thought, David Gillespie, 2 each, please share your predictions with us. Paddy, your own prediction and your main man on the day.
I'm going to go for 2-0 Celtic. I think that we will come in and upset the party. I really do. I think that we'll really try and take control of the game for the get-go. Anything they throw at us for the first 10 minutes, and I think they will throw everything at us for the first 10 minutes, I do think we can sweep up if we keep ourselves in a bit of a compact unit against them. I think back to the 2-1 game you were talking about, Aston, with Carter Vickers and Roglic scoring. They were firing balls in left, right and centre. Desperation from them, to be honest, but it was just getting mopped up. Any ball was coming in, it was getting mopped up from Starfelt and from Carter Vickers. I think we'll be working on that this week in training an awful lot. And I think we'll keep a clean sheet. I really do. I think a goalkeeper there, as we mentioned on Monday, that's switched on and wants to see his career out in a high as well. And that back line will be organised more than it's ever been. Big man for me on Sunday, I think, will be Matt O'Reilly. I think he really, really thrives in these fixtures. I think he knows what it's about. And we're talking about if it does get a bit scrappy, I think he knows what he's doing there as well. I think he's a real confidence booster with some of the challenges he makes. He doesn't let much go past him. And I do think he'll be doing a lot of running for the likes of Hatate and Kalmak if they both start, probably with the sharpness not being there. But it's the adrenaline of these games that will pull these guys through. They might not get in the 90 minutes, as we've said, but Matt O'Reilly, the adrenaline for him will make sure he's mopping up for his two midfield partners as well. I think he'll have a good game.
Here's open, Paddy. You'll see a comment from Alan Thornton on the screen. Alan says, agree with my old mate, Paddy. 2-0 Celtic, O'Reilly and Maeda. I think what we've also got, potentially, is Matt O'Reilly's last trip to Ibrox as a Celtic player. He and Joe Hart, you know, will very probably, let's be real about it, move on from Celtic in the summer. And I think those two, as much as anybody, will want to finish this fixture on a real high. James, I'll come to you next. 5-0 or 6-0, please.
It's less. I actually started out the week very, very conservative. I was going, I thought Rodgers would come out in a very kind of, you know, deliberate, considered approach, control the game and just, you know, get your goals from there on. So I was kind of thinking 2-1 at the start of the week. I really do think the refereeing appointment changes that. I don't think you can be patient at all. You need to get out and get ahead because he's shown exactly what you can do in terms of changing the direction of a game. The weather plays into it as well. I think they'll get a lot of free kicks around their box and we'll need to be really steadfast in that regard. I think they'll score. I think we'll be 2 up by half-time. They'll get one back and we'll score another 3-1.
3-1 Celtic. James, you've stole my thunder. I've been saying it all week and I'm sticking with it. There's a few very positive scorelines in. Dell at Celtic Supporters Podcast 3-0. James Livingston 2-1. Mick 4-1. I'd be all over that, Mick. Would love to see it. Patrick Duffy 3-2. And Keith Stewart, Matt O'Reilly to break his duck against them in a 2-1 win. I've been saying 3-1 all week, and it's not to be cocky or arrogant, it's just where I think we're at. I do think there's a few factors, several factors that play in Celtic's favour. Absolutely having Brendan Rodgers on the sideline, the return of Callum McGregor, the genuine confidence that's coursing through Celtic at this moment in time, the fact that Rangers need to come out, and that in itself, the fact that it lets Celtic in the back. I'm going to go for 3-1 as well, James, so I'll go 3-1. Sorry, who did you say the main man was for you?
Main man? Kuhn.
Nicholas Kuhn, sparkling on his Glasgow derby debut. I'm going for Rio Hatate. I think he's in a brilliant place all of a sudden. You might have seen his comments. Rio Hatate's quite a smart young lad, isn't he? He came through the university programme in Japan. And he blogs, Paddy. I think he writes a column somewhere online in various publications I've now picked up in the comments. And he's basically saying that, frustrating as his time out was, and he suggested he was borderline depressed during that time, through the support of friends and family, he's used that time effectively to change his training regime, change how he eats, change his mindset and all that kind of thing. He looked delighted to play his part last week at Livingston. I think we all thought he was going to get 20, 30 minutes. He gets 65 minutes and he showed just how much we've missed him. I absolutely think it's set for Rio Hatate to shine. So I'm going to go 3-1, the same as James, but Rio Hatate to be the main man. Lads, we're running down the clock on this one, nearly finished, so I'll just come to each for your final thoughts ahead of Sunday's big game. Asim, I'll come to you first.
Sorry, I was muted there. I'm just saying I'm looking forward to it. Honestly, I can't wait. It's one of those as well, like you try and enjoy it, but it's hard, isn't it? Like the build-up, just waiting for it. You just want the game to get started. But listening to you guys and your score predictions, you've kind of swayed me already. I'm like, gosh. But it's all to play for. Honestly, it is. It's huge. We all know the significance of it. It's by no means done, regardless of the outcome. But, you know, you look at the three different potential outcomes and it's going to have a massive impact, isn't it? So if we can go there, and I've said it all along, if we can go there and avoid defeat, you know, it puts us in a really strong position. If we go and win, it's brilliant, because then they're needing snookers. And I think that's the approach we're going to go with. I think Brendan's going to set the team out to win. I think we've got the players that will go out there and believe they can win. And fingers crossed, bring it on.
Yeah, and I fully believe Celtic go there for the win, as said earlier. Asim, don't worry too, we can edit out your one each and we can let you join me and James in the 3-1 club, because I know that's how you're really thinking.
I won't be tweeting too early, put it that way. Anyway, I'll keep my tweets quiet till full time.
It wouldn't be like you. Paddy, your own final comments for this one.
Yeah, just listen, as I've mentioned earlier on, I just think it's up to us, really. If we show up, we win the game. I just think it's as simple as that. Brendan Rodgers does not play for a draw. He doesn't play for a draw. He wants the 3 points. And he thinks that his team's capable of going and getting the 3 points as well, no matter where they play. As I said, I do think we've got the best midfield in Scotland. And I do think that even the two players coming in still bolster that. For me, they will be crucial on Sunday. I think a lot of the game will be won or lost in the middle of the park. I just think we'll get enough for it. So can't wait for it.
Yeah, I think midfield could play such a huge part, Paddy, and I think we'd all be delighted if your 2-0 prediction comes to fruition. James, final word of the day goes to yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a strange old season. You know, we were cantering early doors, and then we just had a blinding flash of good sense to get rid of Michael Beale. So we're now in a position where we shouldn't really have been, and there's bigger issues for another day on that. But we're very much in the hunt. You know, we're ahead with them, a game in hand. But you're not going to get that title without at least taking a point on Sunday. So the players know that. Rodgers are them well drilled. Get your point there. Get your 3 at home. It's one hand in the trophy if you get a win. So I absolutely cannot wait for it. I wish it was, as you said earlier on, Asim, I wish it was right now. I'm ripping for a man.
So yeah. You know, the clock's counting down and I think we're all really excited for it. The only hope is it was sooner than 12 o'clock on Sunday. But listen, thanks, huge thanks to James, Paddy and Asim for joining me. And also to everyone who's joined in the live and contributed there. Even the Rangers fan who joined us for the last 20 minutes or so for some unknown reason. But listen, thanks to you lads for joining me here. We'll be back shortly after the final whistle on Sunday. And hopefully we're bringing you a massive result for Celtic. In the meantime, enjoy your weekend. We'll see you guys again very soon.
Social Podcast Network.